On Midwest Week, the Iowa House and Senate consider some major education bills. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Grant Gerlach, reporter for Iowa Public Radio. One of the first things the Iowa legislature is supposed to do each year is approve a budget for education. So, Grant, has spending for Iowa schools been approved yet?
Yes, they did get around to passing their school spending bill. They approved a funding increase of 2.4% in state aid for schools. And if you look at recent years, that's pretty much in line with what the legislature has been doing. It's a slightly higher percentage than last year when they decided on 2.3%. But to really get the whole picture on this, you have to look at the dollar increase, not just the percentage increase. And that's because the way Iowa provides state funding, it's based on the number of students in a district. And when schools counted students last fall, they learned at the state level that the number of students in the state is down by about 6,000. And normally there's an increase of 2,000 or 3,000 every year. And this is because there were a lot of families, it turns out, that held kids out of preschool or out of kindergarten or switched to homeschooling or perhaps left for a private school. But the impact of that is, even though there's a 2.4% increase, and that's a normal percentage increase in funding for recent years, it would be about $36 million in new state support. And that's much smaller than last year, for instance, by about $50 million. That's the impact of that enrollment decline. Even though it's a similar percentage, it's much less new money. And when Republicans look at this, they say this is a standard increase that we've been approving. It's stable funding. The Democrats are saying it's really not enough, especially since next year enrollment is expected to bounce back. And a lot of those students that were held out will be coming back along with the regular new batch of kids.
So this is state aid for next year based on enrollment this year, and that could be a problem for some districts.
Yeah, that's the usual way to do it, but in a pandemic year, it doesn't work as smoothly as normal.
That's right. Now, one of the first bills legislature and Iowa governor approved was requiring five-day-a-week in-person school. Why was that?
Well, the governor has been pushing schools to be fully in-person for a while, but there were a lot of schools where they hadn't gone that far because they didn't feel like they could take all of the precautions that they would like to. But as part of her condition of the state speech, she made this a priority, and the legislature acted quickly on it and passed that bill so that as of February 15th, all districts must offer in-person classes 5 days a week to families that want it. Now, based on an earlier proclamation that the governor had issued, they still have to offer virtual learning for families that want it, too. So schools like Des Moines and Davenport had to move quickly to get this all in-person learning in place, even though the situation in their classrooms isn't any different. They don't have any more space than they did before. So, for instance, I looked back, and the Davenport superintendent, T.J. Schneckloth, told parents in a notice that they'll do as much physical distancing as they can, and masks will be required, but they can't ensure that they'll be able to provide 6 feet of distance of students from one another or from their teachers at all times. And that 6 feet is important. It's something the CDC has stood by. They say it's still very important for schools to do as much as possible. But these schools are in a position where they have to do the best they can and hope that the other mitigation techniques hold up. And thankfully, vaccination numbers for teachers are improving all the time. So that's been getting better.
Now, Grant, do you have the idea that many Iowa school districts were already offering five-day-a-week in-person classes? Mainly, would that have been mainly small rural districts across the state?
The vast majority were already offering five-day-a-week in-person classes. And there were the ones that were not are primarily large districts, but there were some large districts that were all in-person too, like Waukee or West Des Moines. So it was mostly the larger districts like Des Moines, Dubuque, Iowa City, Davenport are just a few of the districts that had to make a more significant change based on this law passing.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the stories that's been coming out about education recently has been some special penalties for the Des Moines schools. What's that all about?
Well, in the legislature this year, you know, these These proposals don't name Des Moines schools directly, but there have been a few different proposals that you can't hide would impact Des Moines schools based on the decision that they made at the beginning of the year to start all online, even though they didn't have permission from the state. So technically, they were violating the state law at the time, which required at least 50% in-person learning. So there are a couple different proposals where this has come up and could come back and bite Des Moines schools. One is with some COVID relief money that the legislature is talking about providing to school districts around the state. The House and the Senate have different plans, but they both would offer, you know, around $30 million to districts across the state. The way that Des Moines comes into this is they would hand it out in a different way, and neither one of them are really favorable to Des Moines. The House Republicans passed a bill that would allocate the money based on the number of in-person days a district had before this recent law that we just talked about, where they had to go back all in person. And so that means a school that has been mostly online or mostly in hybrid learning would stand to get fairly little money from that program, whereas a district like the smaller districts we talked about that have been mostly in person would stand to get a much larger share of the funding. And Democrats have opposed this because they say, you know, there were expenses for online learning too, and this is, you know, just playing favorites with the schools that were in person. Another example is a proposal that would make it easier to recall school board members for if they make a decision that violates state law. And that would implicate Des Moines because, as I said, they started the year online against state rules, so they would be in line to be recalled under this law based on that decision. It would also strengthen the possible disciplinary measures against a superintendent of that district with the Iowa Board of Educational Examiners. That's their professional licensing board. Mm-hmm. There is already some discipline in place for superintendents that don't follow state law. That's a violation of their ethics code in that panel. So he could still face some consequences for that, for the district making that decision, even if this law doesn't advance. And it looks like that law in particular is not going to move forward.
Okay. Now, the Iowa legislators have been talking a lot in recent weeks about school choice. What's being considered, and what exactly does that mean?
Well, this is another priority for Governor Kim Reynolds, and there are a few different keys to what she is proposing, and it's already passed in the Iowa Senate, but not in the Iowa House. So just talking about what passed in the Iowa Senate, there were a few big parts of that. One was a program of these voucher-style scholarships. They're called Student First Scholarships. They would be available to families in low-performing schools. They'd be worth around $5,000 a year, and families could use them on a lot of different things, but the one that's getting the most attention is they could use it on private school tuition. That's why opponents are calling it a form of vouchers. So that's one part of it. Another part is a new form of charter schools that could be created by these independent groups that wouldn't have to go through the local school board. They would go to the State Board of Education. And that cuts out the local school board. Right now, they would have authority to approve or deny that kind of project. This takes that authority away from the local school board and puts it in the hands of the State Board of Education. And the other part of it is about open enrollment. And the Republican supporters of this plan really want to expand open enrollment, especially in districts that include Des Moines and Davenport, or just a couple, that have what are called voluntary diversity plans. And these are plans that the districts have adopted in an attempt to prevent de facto segregation in their districts along racial or socioeconomic lines. So they restrict open enrollment to other districts from their own, trying to maintain some of the diversity that they have. But this plan that passed in the Senate would eliminate those restrictions on open enrollment. So that passed in the Senate, but in the House, this is not passing as one package. And they've dismantled it into a few different parts. And some are moving forward and some are not. For instance, the House has advanced a bill for the charter schools, but they are not advancing a bill for the voucher program. And so that's setting up a dynamic between the House and the Senate about, you know, what are you going to pass? What am I going to pass? And which parts of this can make it through both chambers to make it to the governor?